Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are, and a very busy Friday, the 14th day of September, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. Glad you could come along. So we go from one mystery to another, and this is something that broke yesterday late in the show. I did not have time to do the show and also dig into what was going on with this report that Dianne Feinstein had been withholding a Brett Kavanaugh document from fellow Judiciary Committee Democrats. And then it went more mysterious from there. So this is a mystery letter from a mystery person. We don't know who it is. The person has demanded anonymity. They do not want to use their name. But this person is making accusations against Brett Kavanaugh when he was in high school. And I'll get into the allegations here in just a minute. So in this country, you have the right to face your accuser. I'm not, if you're going to accuse somebody of something, either be prepared to come forward, use your name, say who you are, make your accusations, or go do something else. Because it is totally unfair for anybody to say, you did something wrong a long time ago, and I'm not going to tell you who I am that's accusing you, but I'm trying to accuse you of something so that, because the timing of it was literally just before the Judiciary Committee took a vote on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, the advice and consent vote. Don't you find that a little bit suspicious? And supposedly this letter from this woman, supposedly a woman, we don't know who it is. I'm guessing it is. This whole thing started off back in July. A letter went to Dianne Feinstein and also to a California congresswoman, Anna Eshoo. She represents not San Jose, not Silicon Valley, but everything else in that part of the San Francisco Peninsula, south of San Mateo, Stanford, all that area is her. That's her district. So she gets this letter, and the letter was sent to Anna Eshoo, and also, so I presume the woman lives in that area, and also the letter was sent to the office of Dianne Feinstein. So, this, according to, now, Ronan Farrow and Jane Meyer have gotten on this from the New Yorker, and they're reporting. Now, this whole thing was supposed to be kept confidential. The woman begged it to be kept confidential. I don't know what she was trying to do other than, is this real? Is it really true, or is this something to try to just upset the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh? Now, the Democrats, obviously, they don't have the votes to stop it. So the commentary has always been, unless they find something really bad, you know, really, really bad, Brett Kavanaugh is going to be the next Supreme Court justice. So they had to find something really, really bad. So is this letter even real? We don't know who it's from. And the person said, I do not divulge who I am. Do not. I want my confidentiality. So how is Brett Kavanaugh, or how would you defend yourself if somebody said, hey, remember what happened when we were in high school? Well, who are you? Well, I can't tell you that. But you know what happened. Well, what? Well, so here's the reporting. This was, again, she approached both, sent a letter to Eshoo and Feinstein in July. This was right after Kavanaugh was nominated by the president. The allegations date back to the early 1980s when Kavanaugh was a high school student at Georgetown Preparatory School in Bethesda, Maryland. The woman attended a nearby high school. In the letter, the woman alleges that during an encounter at a party, Kavanaugh held her down and then attempted to force himself on her. I'm not quite sure what you can think of all kinds of things what that might mean, but he attempted to force himself on her, but obviously he was not successful in his attempt, I guess. She claimed in the letter that Kavanaugh and a classmate of his, both of whom had been drinking, turned up music that was playing in the room to conceal the sound of her protest, and that Kavanaugh covered her mouth with his hand. She alleges took place decades ago. They were all three of them were minors, the woman and Kavanaugh and his friend. Kavanaugh said, "I categorically and unequivocally deny this allegation. I did not do this back in high school or at any time." So the New Yorker got a hold of Kavanaugh's classmate, said, "Well, do you remember it?" And he says, "I have no recollection of that." The woman was approached by the New Yorker and said, no, declined a request for an interview. I don't know if she said no or somebody else said no, but there was that no way was she giving an interview. So the woman not only sent letters to Eshoo and Feinstein, but the woman then contacted Feinstein's office directly, according to multiple sources. After her contact with Eshoo's and Feinstein's offices, the woman decided not to speak about the matter publicly. She had repeatedly reported the allegation to members of Congress, I don't know who they are. We don't know. They're not saying. Nobody else has come forward yet. And as she watched Kavanaugh move toward what looked like an increasingly assured confirmation, she decided to end her effort to come forward. So somewhere she said, forget it. Forget that I called you. Forget that I sent the letter. Forget any of this. Forget the accusations. She decided to end her efforts to come forward. Why? I don't know. So Dianne Feinstein getting a lot of heat because of the fact that she decided to handle the matter in her own office without notifying her colleagues on the Senate Judiciary Committee. A lot of Democrats are not happy with her about that. According to the source familiar with the committee's activities, Feinstein's staff initially conveyed to other Democratic members' offices that the incident was too distant in the past to merit public discussion, and that Feinstein had, quote, taken care of it. So after media inquiries to the Democratic members of the committee, Dianne Feinstein agreed to brief the other Democrats of the committee without any staff present. So it was a very secret meeting. So yesterday afternoon, about this time, Dianne Feinstein, they were ready to hold a vote on Brett Kavanaugh. And she announced that she has referred the matter to the FBI. She said the individual strongly requested confidentiality, declined to come forward, or press the matter further. And I have honored that decision. No, you haven't. You busted her by going forward with her information. Because she says, I have, however, referred the matter to the federal investigative authorities. So an FBI spokesperson said, upon receipt of the information on the night of September 12th, We included it as part of Judge Kavanaugh's background file per the standard process. White House spokesman said not until the eve of his confirmation has Senator Feinstein or anyone raised the specter of new information about him, calling it an 11th hour attempt to delay his confirmation. So last night on MSNBC, former FBI Assistant Director Frank Figliuzzi said that the nominee investigations between the White House and the FBI take on a very business-like characteristic.
I've had occasion in my career to personally have to brief the White House on potentially derogatory information on a nominee. And when you do that enough times, you tend to get referred to as the skunk at the garden party. But you have to remember that the White House is your client when it comes to investigating a nominee. This is not a traditional criminal investigation, but rather a background that goes toward reputation, character, associations. And all of that, and potentially derogatory, needs to go to your client, which in this case is the White House.
Yeah, so it's more than just criminal. It's character. So he went on to say the FBI is obliged to track down any indications of unlawful misconduct.
The FBI has another hat to wear, which is they are the premier investigative agency of our government. So if they see evidence of a crime in there, or even evidence of potentially derogatory information, they have a duty to flesh it out and to fully vet this. Now, this is an intriguing matter because Judge Kavanaugh has been vetted a few times in his career. He's been a district court judge, and the FBI's had to do his background. He's been an appellate court judge. He's still a sitting judge, and the FBI's done that background for that nomination process. So they'll be going through their files saying, have we ever seen such an allegation before? Do we know the complainant? Is he or she in our files? Have we heard anything that smells like this before about Judge Kavanaugh? And they may well have to sit him down, and I've done this myself with other nominees, and say, we've got an allegation, we need to talk about this. But it's possible, Rachel, that they've already asked and answered these questions in his prior vetting processes. Mm.
So why in the prior vetting processes did this never, ever show up? And they do a pretty thorough job. 855-295-6600. What's your reaction? 855-295-6600. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call him like I see him.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
So, Judge Kavanaugh, I think this FBI guy, very interesting because he said, we've gone through this guy. We've researched this guy up one side and down the other. And what we do for a federal nominee is pretty thorough. And it's more than just looking for a criminal investigation. It's about character, all of that. And it's never come up in any of the previous vettings of Brett Kavanaugh as he was working his way at, through the courts or at the White House when he worked for George Bush. So one more from Frank Figliuzzi, who says, despite poor timing, Dianne Feinstein took the correct steps.
Yeah, the timing, of course, is problematic. It's on the eve of a nomination vote, confirmation vote. And again, when someone's been vetted and investigated at least twice throughout his career, it's unusual that this would be brand new information. In fact, I would be surprised if this were legitimate and brand new. That sounds odd to me. But I will say this. Senator Feinstein did the right thing. Hand this over to the agency responsible for fully vetting the judge's background, let them handle it. Now, they've given it to the White House. What I often did was say to the White House, because they asked me, what do you need to do to close this out, resolve this? And I would suggest several steps, and I would say, this is what we intend to do. They may not like that answer, but the FBI has a duty to flesh this out tonight.
Yeah, but it's interesting. What did he say? I would be surprised if this was legitimate and brand new. That from a top FBI guy. 855, I know we don't trust the FBI anymore. 855-295-6600. Carol in Saginaw, Michigan. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Doing good. What do you think?
Good. I remember being a high school girl, junior high school girl, and craving attention from boys. And they are boys. And I know I've had a few incidences, nothing major, thank goodness. But if they were to get nominated for president tomorrow, I'm not going to come back 40 years ago and say they were awful boys at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, nothing bad happened to me, you know, but I remember being a girl, and it's just, you crave, I'm sorry, you, even if it's a little bit of negative you crave it.
It works both ways, yeah. Carol. I mean, the lover's lane is in every community in the world, and and high school boys and girls go there, and they start experimenting. Let me put it that way. They,
yeah, and hopefully, if he did do this, hopefully he learned, okay, this is wrong. But just,
well, that's,
I don't know, it's just
that's, fishy. That's the thing, is that she's not saying, the term is, he attempted to force himself on her. Well, Carol, I'm sorry, guilty. If I'm sure I forced myself on some high school girls when I was in high school. But
exactly,
either I mean, nothing went beyond the word no. So
exactly.
I don't know where.
And like I said, and I hope these boys, you know, I know some boys do turn out to be bad, but they are still learning boundaries, and it doesn't define who they become as a man and a father later in life. And I'm not going to hold them as the past.
There is a reason why juvenile court records are sealed, because they assume that when you and I were teenagers, whatever our behavior as teenagers and our lack of maturity should not reflect on our ability to get a job when we're 45, 50 years old.
Yeah, like I said, it just drives me nuts when, you know, stuff like
that's
that.
That's why they're sealed, because they don't want your behavior as a teenager to impact your life.
Yeah. I don't think there's a person in this world that didn't do stupid stuff when they were young. Experimenting for their boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where you learn about boundaries, and that's where you learn about a lot of things between boys and girls. So, I'm with the FBI guy. I think this whole thing is suspect. She won't even say who she is, but she's writing letters and contacting members of Congress.
Exactly, too. If you don't want to show your face, then don't bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be able to face your accuser, and this accuser says, no, I don't want to face you. All right, Carol, thank you. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I don't want to sound like I was some lecher in high school, but that's, you know, that's what we used to, in Seattle, Puget Sound is right next to Seattle, and we had a nice little park, and you would say you want to go to watch the submarine races, then you'd have a big makeout session. That's the way you grow up.
Likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
You know, I don't know how many of you are willing to admit what, as teenagers, might have happened, but that truly is a time of your life where you learn about the opposite sex, you learn about boundaries, you are maturing during that period of time, but you are not mature, and it's all experimental on how far, what do you do, what don't you do. I know everybody has a different set of morals and ethics, but that's why juvenile court does say if somebody did something wrong and they were convicted of a crime as a juvenile, that will never show up on your records, because we believe that what you did when you were a teenager is not supposed to be held against you in the rest of your life. So the FBI guy says he's surprised if this is legitimate, but forevermore, this will be, oh, yeah, that's the judge, that's the Supreme Court justice who raped high school girls. I mean, it'll get expounded way beyond whatever this was and whoever this person is. We have no idea if this wasn't Frank working for the Democrat Party who decided to write a letter saying I was a high school girl and he came on to me. He forced himself on me. Attempted, which means he was not successful. And whatever that means, too. So, I mean, this whole thing about anonymous accusers goes against everything our judicial system is built on. You cannot accuse somebody anonymously of a crime. And then the accuser supposedly says, I don't want to be anybody. No, I want confidentiality. I don't want anybody knowing who I am. And if I was Dianne Feinstein, I would have said, fine, throw it in the waste paper basket. When you want to come forward, I'm more than happy to listen and help you. So now the vote has been held off until next Thursday. It's supposed to be yet last night. I hope Chuck Grassley gets this thing put together long before next Thursday. The goal here, obviously, is for the Democrats to take control of the Senate. That's what they want. I think most political pundits, and we'll see if they're right, about the red wave, blue wave, all these waves, we'll find out on November 6th if the Democrats take control of the House. Okay. Yes or no, we'll find out. But it's the Senate where they're not ruling out the Democrats taking control, but it's more of a long shot. In fact, there's the pollsters are anywhere from the Republicans will lose two seats to the Republicans will pick up two seats. They can afford to lose two seats while they have the vice president there, who is a Republican. That can break ties. So this is... they might, but that's what they're hoping for. But even if the Democrats take control of the Senate on the vote of November 6th, they don't actually take control until the new Congress convenes in January. So that would mean that the Republicans would still have control up through the end of this year. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold off the Kavanaugh vote until sometime mid to late January of 2019. They'll scream, this isn't fair, we've taken control. No, well, that still, it's going to come down to who's in control at the time. 855-295-6600. Dan in California. Hello, Dan.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Sullivan. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I was reverting back to being a Marine Corps and a field artillery and part of the, what we call the hot box for the nuclear weapon, our FBI background check goes back to when I was in elementary school. So for this to not come up in not one but two background checks for Mr. Kavanaugh is really kind of beside me on how it happens. And then once the media gets hold of it, it's all blown out of proportion with the media, so now we have the public already making a decision whether it goes any further or not. The public's already going to make their decision about what the media is going to do and how they handle it.
So you were involved with nukes, so they gave you a pretty good scrubbing, in other words, right?
Yeah, I had top secret clearance for the nuclear weapons.
Well, the only real thorough background check for me, I was when I became a highway patrolman. They did the same thing. They went back to my grade school, the kids I went to grade school with, to the neighbors where I grew up. I only lived in one house, one neighborhood. They went around and knocked on the doors of everybody in that neighborhood. So, yes, I mean, they do go back. And you would think somebody would say, oh, yeah, he was, I'll tell you, he used to attack women and...
They've spoken to his friends in school, you know, and this one that was named in the same letter would have said something. So It's just suspicious to me, that's all.
Same with the FBI guy. He says he's surprised. He'll be surprised if it's legit. I think that's what this is this is about as low as you can go. I think this is fake. You talk about fake news. This might be.
Yeah, but it's still going to be in the matter of public opinion, and it's already out there. They're already talking about it. They've already delayed the vote once because of an anonymous letter. You know, everything that happens with Mr. Trump or President Trump is anonymous. Nobody wants to come forward. Everything's on anonymous source or something.
Yeah, mostly. There's some that have named come forward with their names. But, yeah, you're right. This is, we can't, you can't in this country have somebody accuse you of something wrong without coming forward, giving you their name. You have to be able to face your accuser. It's fundamental. Anyway.
Yes.
Thanks, Dan. And I appreciate your service, too. Semper Fi. This is, we have time for this. Yeah, let me get Eric in here from California before we take our break. Eric, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
Hi.
Long time listener, first time caller. Thanks
welcome.
For the show.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm very suspicious of this report and the timing. I initially heard something yesterday and mentioned to my wife that, you know, I bet it's going to be a sexual thing. And then a few hours later, sure enough, that's what came out.
Sure.
I'll go ahead and say right now, I don't think this is going to be the only one. Between now and next Thursday's vote, there's going to be one or two more, or who knows how many, other anonymous 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago stories, put that in quotation marks, rumors coming out. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, it happens that way. Look at Les Moonves. Look at Charlie Rose. Look at Matt Lauer. You know, there's one, and then there's two, then there's ten, and then it builds up. If that happens, I wouldn't be surprised either, Eric. But they better not be anonymous. They better come forward with names of who they are. If they're going to come forward.
Right. And then at the same time, with the media's role in all of this, it made the news, but it didn't stay in the news very long. Dianne Feinstein, who's front and center here, and her 20-year employee, who has now been exposed as an agent of the Chinese government.
Right.
I mean, that when was how long was that on the news cycle? One day? 2 days?
Yeah, half a day. Half a day. Yeah. We'll see what happens with this. I'm not so sure it's going to go away that fast because that vote is next week. And I'm afraid, I hope you're wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden they conjured up some more. I got to hit the break. But Eric, thank you. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air. Online. On demand.
Oh, you're funny. My Twitter feed, at Sullivan Radio, Whiskey Tango Fox. I get it. Now we're starting to get the... he says, my first time was behind the skating rink. I was in the seventh grade. I don't think we actually did anything, but we thought we did. Well said. Yeah, no, I'm. You know, you're in the seventh grade. I don't know. Grandpa Jim says... Are politicians vetted? Maybe senators and representatives, governors, state legislators, mayors should be investigated, vetted as much as they investigate Supreme Court nominees. Yeah, they're lawmakers. And Wayne says, without having my record expunged, when I was younger, I would not be in the healthcare field that I am today. Yeah, glad that stuff's covered up. All right. Speaking of... Well, I find there's more to this, obviously, and Yvonne Hurd sends me a very interesting tweet. If Grassley did not know about the accusations, how did he have a letter ready to go with 65 high school women saying he never did anything wrong within 24 hours? Yeah, it was out there. That's, Yvonne, you're on to something, because there's a big, long letter from all these women that said, I went to high school with Brett Kavanaugh, we're from mixed politics, but he was always a good guy. How did they get that so quickly? Well, because it was apparently floating around. Here's a very interesting conversation last night. At the end of Rachel Maddow's show, she tosses it over to Lawrence O'Donnell. You know, it's the old, okay, and now here's Lawrence O'Donnell, and take it away. And instead, he engages her in this divulging of the fact that he knew about this beforehand. Let's listen.
I can tell you that I actually was informed about this letter on Friday. And so I have been aware of it since then. I have also been aware of the constraints on it that indicated it might not become public because the author of the letter did not want to be identified and did not want to come forward. And so as of Friday, both the Congresswoman and Senator Feinstein had a situation in which the person who'd given them information was someone who did not want to be publicly identified, at which put her in the identical posture of where Anita Hill began with the Senate Judiciary Committee. She believed she had information, Anita Hill did, about Clarence Thomas that the committee might want to know, but she did not want to come forward publicly. That presented a challenge for the committee, because they were faced with the question of, as Joe Biden described it at the time, could we take secret information, in effect, about a nominee and not, and would the nominee never get a chance to confront the accuser, in effect, by cross-testifying, as they ultimately ended up doing? The committee has this challenge again tonight. That question of what do we do with someone who has something that is negative information about a nominee, but that person doesn't want to be doesn't want to come forward publicly.
Yeah, and Anita Hill did not want to come forward, but she did, and she was able to. Clarence Thomas was able to confront his accuser, and he did so in a very strong way. This case is different. This person is not coming forward, at least not yet. But I'm wondering if not before next Thursday, they don't somehow bribe or do something for her to come forward. But back to Lawrence O'Donnell. He points out the difficulty that the FBI faces when trying to reach out to an anonymous accuser.
Well, this is one thing that the delay is about, and that's why, as we've talked about it before, every day of delay in this particular instance matters, because the shape of this story could be dramatically different tomorrow. I mean, there was, you know, there was a day in her life when Anita Hill firmly believed that what she had to say about Clarence Thomas was never going to become public, and the next day it was. And so, and she didn't know when that was going to happen. And so sometimes these things, the dynamics of this kind of story can change, and it is now, in effect, in terms of what could be the next public stage, all up to the potential accuser here as to whether or not, she wants to engage in this publicly. Now, the FBI absolutely has a mandate to try to speak to this complainant. They absolutely, and it isn't necessarily as a matter of a criminal investigation, but they are still on the background investigation of a Supreme Court nominee. They have information that they need to know. I am sure that the FBI will make an effort to contact and speak to this person, but this person is under no obligation to speak to the FBI.
Right. So can you imagine the pressure on this person from people in the Democrat Party? Because it's well reported that Susan Collins said that she was basically, it was $300,000 was pledged against Susan Collins if she votes for Brett Kavanaugh. So there's a bribe. And you can bet there are people that are getting to this person that wrote this letter and saying, you've got to come forward. Sam in Vallejo, California. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Simple question. Given that you could see the particle, political threat through all of this, are there going to be any consequences when a senator brings up these smears, accusations, lies against a candidate, given that their legislators, they think, well, nothing's going to happen to me, but there has to be a consequence. I'm not saying expel the person from the Senate, but some sort of consequences so these senators understand bringing false accusations will have consequences. And again, if he did something, bring it forth, bring the witnesses, but come on, having some anonymous source, you can bring any accusations whenever you want and smear the guy for life. So there has to be consequences.
Do you think this person will remain anonymous? You know the pressure's got to be on this woman. Huge. Huge pressure.
I'll bet you, as you say, I'll bet you, a lunch at a drive-through?
Yeah.
The person will not come up. But again, if the person comes up, let's investigate it. But if the person doesn't come up and there is no witnesses, there's no evidence, come on, Tom. There has to be a point where the senators have to be held to account for bringing up lies. Otherwise,
well, they do charge people for false police reports. I don't know where this fits in to that. But, yeah, they arrest you.
Senator Tom, there has to be a consequence. I understand on the floor of the Senate, and whether it's state or federal, there's this doctrine that, hey, you can't impede what they're saying because it infringes their right as a senator. But, come on, one thing is saying something on the floor of the Senate. Another thing is deliberately lying, and that's my point. If there is proof behind it, then fine, produce it. But if there's no proof, then there has to be a consequence.
So you think that this woman doesn't exist, that this was made out of whole cloth by the congresswoman or the senator?
I'm not saying that she doesn't exist. I really don't think she's going to come forward. I really don't think they're going to have anything. But let's just suppose they do. Okay, fine. We'll investigate it, and let's move forward and let the chips fall where they may. But my concern for the Republic's sake is if there is no witness, if there is no evidence, senators have to stop this. There has to be a way to stop this. Otherwise, we're just eroding our democracy.
It's a banana republic at that point, right? You just throw out accusations and bring people down without any proof. Yeah, we have a judicial system. Interesting, we're talking about a Supreme Court nominee and a judicial system that needs to be applied. Sam, thank you. We'll be right back.